Seeking the truth never gets old. Introducing June's Journey, the free-to-play mobile game that will immerse you in a thrilling murder mystery. Join June Parker as she uncovers hidden objects and clues to solve her sister's death in a beautifully illustrated world set in the roaring 20s. With new chapters added every week, the excitement never ends. Download June's Journey now on your Android or iOS device, or play on PC through Facebook Games.
In a world where zombies, ghosts, serial killers, and vampires all exist, it's Nico, Brian, Mike, and Dustin, and they are all that stand between you and the films that could end the world. Welcome to the Don't Go Out There Horror Movie Podcast.
What's up, everyone? Dustin and Nico here. I want to thank you all for tuning in to another special edition of Don't Go Out There. Nico and I recently went and watched a movie in the theater that I feel warrants an instant reaction. I don't exactly think he liked it as much as me, but I think Nico feels it's worth talking about as well. So tonight we're going to join, we thank you for joining us as we talk about Abigail. Nico, get us started. What did you think about Abigail? Just your overall general thoughts of the weirdly fun twist on vampires.
No, I did like it. I enjoyed the movie. I'm not as high on it as you are, I don't think, like you mentioned, but I did like the movie. You know, it's got Radio Silence. We reviewed quite a few of their movies already. Guy Busick, we've had him on the show twice. I think he did a great job with writing this movie. I do have a few qualms. Obviously, I think you probably do as well, you know, just deep diving into it. You know, and we'll get into it, but I had fun with it. Melissa Barrera, I thought she was great. I thought the whole cast was great, honestly. I had fun with all of them. Catherine Newton, you know, she's been in a lot. Lisa Frankenstein, yeah. A lot of other stuff recently. I loved her in the movie. You loved Kevin Durand. I had no idea which one Kevin Durand was, honestly, until I was walking out of the theater. But I thought the whole cast was fun. I did get a little bit in my feels just a few minutes ago looking through the cast, and I saw Angus Cloud. I wasn't real familiar with him, but unfortunately, he's passed away recently. That's heartbreaking, but I thought he was a fine character as well. I enjoyed the movie. What'd you think, Dustin?
Yeah, so I'll be honest with you. I don't know how I missed this, but I did not know that Guy was one of the writers on this movie. You know, friend of the show, multi-time alumni and guest. But once I saw his name flash up on the screen, I was like, oh, hell yeah, I'm in. I was already in because I thought the trailers looked fun. And I was like, okay, let's see what this is about. But once I saw Guy was in, I think in my mind that may have skewed my view on it because we like Guy so much. But, I mean, you mentioned the cast. Melissa Barrera, phenomenal. We both love her in the Scream requel, or, you know, whatever you want to call it, reboot. Catherine Newton, you mentioned her. She's phenomenal. I love her in Freaky. Can't wait to review that one. Giancarlo Esposito, one of the best actors going. I mean, he's been getting a lot of flowers over the past year, rightfully so. And so I saw he's attached. I'm like, hell yeah, let's go. And you mentioned Angus Cloud. I wasn't familiar with him either. And then at the end of the movie, when it flashes up on the screen, in memory of our friend Angus Cloud or whatever it said, something to that effect, I still didn't know who he was. I didn't know. I wasn't familiar with that name. I never watched Euphoria. I think that's what he's most known for. But yep. I will say when I'm watching the movie, when I was seeing his character, I was like, man, if they ever make a Mac Miller biopic, this guy's got to play it. Like, he would crush that. And then, unfortunately, I found out the tragic news. But, yeah, to me, the star of the show was Kevin Durand. His comedic touch and delivery was so perfect because he played this, you know, this muscle who's just a bumbling idiot, but he's the muscle of the crew. And just his line delivery, he had these little subtle things that weren't overly ridiculous and funny, but just the way mm-hmm. he delivered them was so good. Like, for example, when she's got the gun pointed at him and she ends up shooting him, he's like, oh, you shot me. And she's like, give me the gun. She's like, so give me the gun so I can clean you up. He goes, okay. I'm like, I don't know. It's just something about him. It was so funny. I would love to have him on the show. And like I mentioned to you and Brian, I would love to have Guy back on the show if his schedule allows to discuss this, because I thought the movie was a lot of fun. So I saw it Friday night, this past Friday. You saw it, I believe, last night, right?
Yep, so Tuesday night.
Yeah, we're recording this on Wednesday, so that was Tuesday night. You saw it. So yeah, it's a little bit fresher on your brain than it is mine. But let's get into the pros and cons. What were the things you liked the most about it?
The cast, starting off, great. I think they had great chemistry. It was an interesting concept too, like just, you know, kidnapping a kid to get the money, then you take her to the house, and I'm assuming we're going to get into a little bit of spoilers. So yeah, be warned, we're going to talk spoilers.
But the good news with spoilers though is if you hear us right now and you're like, oh, I don't want to listen to this until I've seen it because there's spoilers. Apparently next week it's hitting streaming services already, and Blu-ray and DVD is going to be shortly after. But next week you'll be able to watch this and tune back in. Go ahead.
Yeah, the comfort of your own home, and you won't have assholes fumbling around with their candy bags and their popcorn all like they did last night, which is a little frustrating. But anywho, yeah, the cast was great. I thought the movie looked really good too. It had a really cool setting in that house. Mm. You know, radio silence. It did Ready or Not, so you kind of had the same vibes, kind of, which I enjoyed. The little girl played by Alicia Ware was great as Abigail. I thought it was, you know, it kind of reminded me a little bit of Megan as well. You know, the way she moved, the dancing, and how she would attack the people. I thought that was really good. The kills I thought were good. I really enjoyed the way the, let's go ahead and just spoil it. Like when the light would hit the vampires and they would just explode. I loved that shit. It didn't just burn them, you know, like in other vampire movies. Like, and they didn't fuck around. Like, if the light hit you, you just blew up instantly. Like, you didn't get a little burn on your arm. Like, you was donezo. You know, I enjoyed the fresh take on the vampire stuff. I mean, and like you mentioned with the humor, Dan Stevens as Frank, whenever Catherine Newton brings out the bag of onions instead of garlic, he's like, those are onions. I thought that was hilarious. I love Frank's character. I thought he was hilarious.
Yeah. He was a dick, but he was funny. So I thought the movie looked great as well. I thought the effects were fantastic. They used a metric fuck ton of fake blood in this movie, and it looked good. You know, you can tell when blood doesn't really look like blood. That wasn't the case here. I thought it looked good. I thought the cast was stellar top to bottom in their performances. The chemistry was really good. I did like the concept as well. You know, I'll be honest. I don't know what I was thinking, but I knew what this movie was. You know, I've seen the teeth on Abigail in the trailers and everything, so I knew it was a vampire movie, but I guess I just forgot. I got so lost in the story of this kidnapping, this heist, that I kind of forgot that until it happened. And I think that was well done. That was welcome to me because I didn't sit there thinking, okay, when's the scary shit happen? When's the vampire? I was so lost in what was going on screen that I loved it. I thought that, you know, like I said already, the comedy we've all touched on, but each character had their funny moments in one way or another. It's not like it was all Kevin Durant. Just like I said, to me, he stole the show, but Catherine Newton was funny with the whole garlic thing. Angus Cloud was funny. You know, even Melissa had her moments when she wasn't directly funny, but she was involved in funny moments. So that was good.
She had some good sarcasm, like at the end when she's walking out, what the fuck?
Yeah.
That was good. I like that.
That was great. There were some beautiful shots in the movie from a cinematography standpoint. The setting was great. It's crazy that 90% of the movie takes place inside this house, but the house was so big that it felt like it was shot in multi-locations. So that was good. You mentioned how the sunlight affected. Another thing that I don't want to get lost in the sauce here. So when Catherine Newton, when Sammy turned vampire, I thought it was also great. There was this little hints of sunlight coming through the windows, but her body was like smoking. So you could see like it wasn't direct sunlight. It was like reflecting off a tree or a leaf or something, but it was affecting her. Like she was sizzling. And I thought that was a great subtle touch as well. When Abigail's hand got blown off and the first time we realized that the sunlight affected him like this, I thought it looked great. And Alicia Weir, you mentioned it. She acted her ass off. I'm unfamiliar with her game, but I hope to see her in a lot more because she killed it. And another thing, you know, vampires, there's so many different ways you could go with vampires. And I love that this movie addressed that. like, you know, when she's like, okay, what kind of vampire are we dealing with? We got Vampire Diaries, we got Twilight, mm-hmm. or whatever mm-hmm. what she said. That was funny. Like, I
appreciated that, yeah, meta.
I did too. And so I, you know, there's a lot more positives than negatives for me, but speaking of negatives, what would you change, or what didn't really hit for you like you wished it had?
Well, before I do that, I wanted to give a couple more positives. Okay. Alicia Ware, like you mentioned, she was great as a child. We've gotten some good kid acting performances. You know, I think in my pick next week, or not next week, but in a couple weeks, Ingrid Torelli in Late Night with the Devil, she was great. Next mm-hmm. week, we're doing Megan, Amy Donald. I thought she was great. So we've gotten some good child performances recently. So I got to shout out the kids. I'm going to shout out Melissa Barrera again. I met her at Spookala a couple weeks ago. She was incredibly nice. To me, I think this was her best acting I've seen out of her. You know, I think she was fine as Sam, but she had some, in my opinion, you know, a couple of cringy acting moments. But, you know, she's just getting into this. She was taking on a big franchise, so I can understand that. But I thought she was really solid acting in this one. Mm-hmm. Let's see, some more positives. The twist at the end with Lambert Giancarlo Esposito, I like that twist. I like that he had turned. I thought that was cool. Okay. Yeah. And the effects on, like, the teeth and all that. And another thing I like with the vampire thing is, like, Catherine Newton got bit, but she didn't turn until Abigail controlled her. Mm-hmm. I like that. I thought that was an interesting take.
And to piggyback off that, a positive I like, this introduced kind of a new wrinkle, is that you can either fully turn someone, give them autonomy, or you can control them. And I thought that was a cool little wrinkle. A new element that was introduced there, because like you mentioned, Sammy, she wasn't her own vampire. She was a puppet. But mm-hmm. yet when, you know, Lambert had been fully turned, he could do what the fuck he wanted. He did the same. He paid the same favor to Frank. And so that's a cool twist as well, to kind of break up the tired old stereotype of vampires.
Yeah, for sure. Cons. I won't say it's a con per se. I thought it was kind of convenient. But, you know, it's their movie. They can do what they want to. You know, they still had the sunlight weakness, but, you know, garlic didn't work. Eh, okay. You know, it's just a classic trope, but, you know, it's their movie, their rules. That's fine. I feel like the movie, like you had mentioned, was more for fun and just having a good time. I didn't think, like, the sentimental stuff, like, really connected. Like, maybe I'm just being an asshole because, you know, recently, you know, I've been really sentimental on our show. You know, the series, you know, the... like Morgan and his kid and his wife, you know, that really pulled at the heartstrings with The Walking mm-hmm. Dead. But like the pinky promises, the kind of stuff, man, didn't really do shit for me. And then Melissa talking about her child, like her son or whatever she abandoned. Like, I'm not trying to sound like a bad person, but like, I just didn't feel like it really connected, because it was just a fun little vampire, like whodunit kind of thing at first. Then it just became like a basic monster survival movie. I don't know. The sentimental stuff just didn't really hit for me personally in this movie. Other qualms, geez. You want to name off some while I just keep thinking?
Well, I'll address a couple of those. So the garlic thing, I didn't have a problem with it. I kind of liked it because, like Sammy mentioned, what kind of vampires are these? Are these this or this? Like, you know, we've all heard what works on vampires, what vampires are like. But this movie also said vampires aren't real. And they're like, the fuck they aren't. She's right there. She's a vampire. And so it's like, all these are made up, you know, stories, these fairy tales about vampires. But this is like, okay, this is a real vampire. What actually works? What's just lore? And so I kind of like that. The sentimental stuff, I think that it was necessary for Joey. I agree that it didn't really hit for me. I don't know. Maybe it's because we didn't get enough backstory, I don't think. Like, it was just kind of dropped on us that she abandoned her kid.
And, you know, like, you said, her screen wallpaper was her and her kids. Like, well, I mean, we don't even know the kid, though. So, I mean,
we don't even know the kid. Sad story, and also that picture, like, her hair looked the same on her lock screen as it did right then. So, it couldn't have been that long ago. So, she couldn't have abandoned him that long ago, I don't think. But I think it was necessary because, you know, you've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, like 5, 6 people in this house, in this crew. Obviously, they're not all going to live. So they have to add another layer to one character to make you feel about, okay, this person needs to survive. They have more going on than just what's in this house, more at stake than just the money. Joey needs to go reconcile with their kid. So I think it was just an attempt to get us to relate to her and root for her more. But I mean, it's Melissa Barrera. I'm going to root for her no matter what. So
I think they had enough going, though, with just her being like a recovering addict, personally.
Yeah. Well, and that's another thing, too. They didn't that was just kind of glossed over. It's like, yeah, she eats candy. But that's it.
And wears long sleeves.
And so it's like these people were selected almost like Jigsaw selects. Like they each have done something that brought them here into this game. But all she did was she had a little bit of a habit in the military. I don't give a shit about that. Like, you know, you most have to be doped out of your mind to deal with some of the shit that military people have to deal with. Salute the troops. But it feels like her story wasn't dove into enough to make it really stick. I appreciated it, but it was almost too surface level for me to really sink my teeth in and latch onto this as, okay, I'm really rooting for her.
Yeah, like the phone call she makes at the end, and the voicemail did kind of annoy me because that was kind of like a long hello and then a pause. Yeah. And then it's like fuck off, kid.
No, that's funny, though, because that shit still pisses me off to this day. You know, like 10 years ago, 15 years ago, that was the thing when we all started getting cell phones. I guess it's been longer than that, but now. But, you know, you always used to leave those voicemail or have your voicemail that would fuck with your parents or someone they're calling you. And so when it happened in the movie, I was like, this son of a bitch, this kid's grounded if I get out of this house.
another qualm that I have, and it's not the movie's fault. It's something that I saw and I agree with on Chris Tuckman's review. And it's something that you've brought up a lot about trailers. Like you said, this movie's kind of a slow build at first. Like we're learning about our characters. Like we don't know about Abigail being the vampire, but we do. Like they don't know, but we do because we've seen the trailer. We've seen her with the teeth and attacking people. But the movie takes like, what, 30, 35 minutes for us to finally see Abigail like that?
Yep.
So it's kind of a little frustrating that the trailer revealed Abigail's secret. And I know you're not as big a fan of Barbarian as I am, but I thought Chris made a good point in his review. Like, they should have just made the movie about this kid's got something going on that we kidnapped, and they shouldn't have revealed that she was a vampire in the trailer. Because it kind of – we know that already that she's going to be a vampire, but they don't. So you're kind of just waiting, like, all right, when's shit going to start? But that's not a movie problem. That's a trailer problem.
I agree. And that's the main, you know, like I said, well, I've got a couple reasons why I avoid trailers unless I'm just at the theater and I see them. And it's one, because they reveal too much. Or two, it's because they present something that's completely different than what we see. That wasn't the case here. Civil War. That wasn't the case here. Like, you know, we knew what we were getting into. But luckily for me, like I said, I don't know what was going on in my head, but I forgot. I was so invested in the story that I forgot. Oh, yeah, this kid's a fucking vampire. So I think that I know you can't show too much gore in trailers because MPAA would never allow that. But I almost wish that the trailer would almost just show the carnage, like show the mutilated bodies and stuff and not reveal who did it. Because the whole – what was – it wasn't Vasquez. What was the name? That her dad's hitman was called.
Oh, fuck. Valdez.
Valdez, yeah.
And the dad's name was Lazar, wasn't it?
Yeah. And so I almost wish that it was set up like Valdez was doing all this, and we don't know the Abigail's of vampire going until it's revealed in the movie, because that was a good twist as well. She's locked up in the room. And, oh, shit, people are getting taken. You know, my man Dean got his head lopped off. Who the fuck did this? This girl's still chained up in the room. And then I remembered, oh, yeah, she's a fucking vampire. And so then it made much more sense. But, you know, I agree with you. Something else that it's not anything they did. It was just maybe it is what they did. But I knew Lambert was not a good person. Like, I called that as soon as he dropped them off at the house and took their phones. I was like, okay, he's a bad guy. And
I didn't pick up on that.
I will say that the secondary twist with him being a fucking vampire, that was, I didn't call that. Mm. But I thought maybe he had lured them all here for the vampire. I thought he was in on it, but I didn't know he's a vampire. So it was kind of they shot 50% from the field with those twists there for me.
Hey, 50% is good in baseball for a batting average.
Yeah, hell yeah, that's impossible. But
but I don't want to come across as a hater, and I hope I haven't. But I thought I'm gonna give some more praise. like you mentioned, I thought the buildup, just like the character interactions, like, cause at first, like, you know, they're on this big, the point of the story is they kidnap this girl to get money, basically. Yeah. Because, you know, they all want a fresh start and all that. And they're in this big, nice house. And I just thought the camaraderie of the characters was really good. You know, they're just all hanging out, vibing, drinking, playing pool, playing games and all that. You know, a couple of them are flirting with each other, just trying to have a good time. I had fun with that. I thought it was a good buildup. And I did think, you know, Melissa and Abigail, Joey and Abigail, I thought their characters had good chemistry, like in the room together. I thought that was really, that was more heartfelt than her son.
Oh, and I'm glad you brought that back up because I remembered something else I was wanting to say. So you said that the whole Pinky Promise didn't really hit for you. To me, it wasn't a miss for me or a hit. To me, it was just a good job of reinforcing the fact that this is a kid. Like, Pinky Promises mean something to kids. And so this is just Joey trying to build that trust with Abigail. And like, look, you know, I have a kid too. I know what this means to you. And so I thought the Pinky Promise part was fine, but I can see your part of it as well.
I liked it in the beginning. At the end, whenever we know she's a monster and she's been killing people, like, yeah, just get the hell out of the house. not Frank. I thought Frank, whenever he walked into the room and he didn't have his mask on and she was unblindfolded, I thought that was cool. Like, I like Frank's character a lot. I thought he was a badass. I thought he was cool. Yeah. I do think it had a little bit of Scream 6 issues, though, with people taking way too much damage and being okay. Like, he got stabbed through the leg. I did appreciate the fact that he hobbled, but, man, that would have hurt like hell. Like, having a stake stabbed through your leg. I don't know if you could even hobble like that.
Yeah. But even the way that was done was so fucking funny to me. When he got stabbed in the leg and then the aftermath of her pulling it out, like, that shit was so funny. But another thing that, speaking of damage, another thing that I'll give props for is when Joey got bit, I was like, oh, fuck. What? No, no, no. I do not want her, even if she survives, to be reunited with her kid and her stay the same age and her kid have to grow up. Like, I'm thinking that far ahead. I don't want a Twilight situation going on. But I like the added twist that, no, once the vampire that turns you dies, you're good. Like, that's a good way to explain it and just wash your hands with it, move on. You don't have to go deeper into it. I thought that was well done.
No, I like that too, but correct me if I'm wrong. It didn't even look like she had a bite mark on her neck. Or was
she
tripping?
Didn't. No, she didn't. And that bothered me as well.
I didn't see one. She just got bit on the neck.
Because she got bit pretty high on her, like her neck, right? And then as soon as it was done, I looked and I was like, there's no bite mark. But then when she stood up, it looked like the bite was almost on her trap, like on her shoulder. There was a little blood spot. Mm. And so I thought, okay, if that's where it's supposed to be, that's not where he bit her, but at least I can forgive it. Not like they just didn't do it. But then as time went on, I was like, no, she had that blood in her hair. Like, what the fuck? I think that was a flub.
I do.
Well, yeah, a lot of shit was happening in that moment, so I can understand you, like, you missed something. But yeah, I had fun with Abigail. I'm looking forward to reviewing it.
One other thing that it's not really a con to me, and I don't want this to come across the wrong way.
Uh-oh.
But I think Rickles might have been miscast. I thought he was phenomenal. I thought William Catlett killed it, did a great job. But, and maybe I'm wrong here, there was a little bit too much sexual tension for Joey and Rickles. Like, if I look at those two people, he looks significantly older than her.
Oh, bro leaned in for the kiss, too.
He did. And so, you know, and they had great chemistry. That's not the issue. And I think, like I said, he given him props, but just from an optic standpoint, I think he looked way too old to be someone that, you know, maybe she got daddy issues. I don't know. But that was kind of a questionable casting to me. Another thing that I cannot wait to ask Guy about, you saw how little that fucking bed was. I know that Abigail's a kid, but that bed was tiny. That kid almost, you know, that kid could lay in the middle of the bed, reach your arms out and touch the floor on both sides. That's a small ass bed. So I'm going to have to ask Guy about that when he comes back on.
And this is a mansion, too. Like, they can afford a bigger bed.
Yeah. So, but no. All right, like you mentioned, I'm looking forward to reviewing this as well. Someone say it's overdue already. It's hitting streaming services next week, so I'm definitely looking forward to reviewing it. Off of one watch, I'll go ahead and throw this out there. I reviewed it on Letterboxd, as I've done with all the movies I've watched over the past year or so. And, you know, Letterboxd has a 5-star system. On our show, we rate things 1 through 10. So when I do my scores on Letterboxd, I multiply it by, you know, 2. So I do it on 1 to 10 scale and divide by 2. I mean, so for one watch, I'm not saying that this movie was this good necessarily, but from just pure enjoyability, I can already tell you this is going to be one of my comfort movies. Hour and 49 minutes did not feel like an hour 49 minutes. The runtime was perfect because I don't feel like any of it drug. So from one watch, and it may change on a rewatch, I gave it 4.5 stars out of 5 on Letterboxd just because of how much I enjoyed the movie. So any final thoughts for you, or do you want to share your Letterboxd opinion?
So you're saying that's a 9?
Off of one watch, this is a 9. I fucking loved it.
See, I think I had the same feeling you did with Late Night with the Devil. I just had fun with it.
That's fair.
But I thought that was a really good movie, too. Review coming in a couple weeks.
Yeah.
What would I rate? IMDb is at like a 7.1, I think. I got it pulled up. Yep,
7.1. With only 11,000 votes. Go watch this movie, people.
That's pretty solid for a horror movie that just came out. That's pretty solid. That's true. I mean, it's not like Oppenheimer. It's going to have like a million in like 2 weeks. What would I'm probably around that 7.5 to 8 range. Like, okay. I didn't hate this movie by any means.
I'll take that.
I do want another rewatch just because I didn't think the movie drug at all. But like, I did have like a row of people in front of me that was kind of annoying. So that just, other people can ruin your movie experience. Like, you're trying to pay attention, but you know, they're fumbling with their candy wrappers the whole time. They're wanting to laugh.
Yeah.
It can just take you out of the movie. So I'm, even with all of that going on, I'm still in that 7 to 8 range. So I did think the movie was good. And,
so you're at a 3.5 to 4 range.
Yeah, I think this is Radio Silence's best movie. Ooh, I won't say that. I do like Scream 5 a lot. It's up there with Scream 5 as my favorite movie of theirs.
Yeah, and I had a much different theater experience than you. When I go, the theater I go to has the upper level seating and the lower level seating. I always sit in that front row of the upper level so I could put my feet up on the metal guardrail in front of me. There was no one on my entire row. There was no one on the row behind me. There was like 5 people or so on the row behind that. Overall, I think there was probably around 12 to 15 people in the theater, and I couldn't hear a peep from any of them until we all collectively laughed. So I had a great experience watching this one in the theater. Shout out to Regal.
I played myself. I went on half off Tuesday. So,
oh yeah.
And I bought my tickets like 10 minutes before, you know, the playtime or the runtime started, and there was nobody around me. So it must have filled in late. But anywho, yeah. I still enjoyed the movie. Like, I'm not going to hold it against the movie that I had some asshole kids in front of me.
Right. All right. Well, that wraps up our instant reaction. For Nico, I'm Dustin. Want to thank you all for tuning in. Shout out to all our blood donors. You know who you are. We couldn't do this without you. You do a lot for us. We appreciate you. And yeah, be on the lookout for our review when it drops. Y'all have a good night.
Hell yeah, brother. Just want to remind everybody.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.